Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
So much for an incredible morning so far. Thank you that you are at work. You are moving and talking by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that you'll continue to pour out that spirit of revelation and wisdom on all of us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Father. Let us know the hope that we are called to, our inheritance in the saints, and the incredible power that's at work within us. Thank you for what you're going to do this morning. Everybody says, amen, amen. Thank you. Right, I've been doing a series on an evening, but I'm bringing part of it in today for this morning on the responsibilities of being a disciple. Is there anything up there? Go on. It's all right, go on. Yeah, there it is, look. Okay, it's part four. That means you've missed parts one, two, and three. Parts five and six are following. So I'm going to try and tie it all in together. We're doing another one tonight as well at Graham and Darrell, so feel free if you want to come along and listen to that. Unless you think I'm rubbish this morning, you don't have to bother. But if you want to come along, you'd be welcome. Press the start button, just pressed it. Right, so responsibilities of being a disciple. Let me read some scripture to you in 2 Peter 1:1-8. That should come up on the screen as well. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking tonight on brotherly kindness and love. So if you want to hear about that, please come along to Graham and Darrell's. But this morning, we're talking about perseverance and godliness. So far, what I've been going over is this process of the responsibility of being a disciple. God has given us three things. The day you got saved, the very second you got saved, God gave us like precious faith. Peter was speaking, he's saying, you've got faith just like me. I healed the lame, I raised the dead. You got faith just like me inside you right now. We've also been given, forget about that, we're going out there in a minute. Great and precious promises through which we inherit the divine nature. Promises are ours. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. We're given those. And we've also been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life there is zoe in Greek, which means God's very own life. The source of all life. Not animal life that we know of on earth, but divine life. Zoe life. Three things that we're given. And Peter is saying, now you've got those three things, they're yours. You need to now add to that your faith in Jesus Christ that got you saved. Add to it virtue, which is determination, courage to stand, valor, manliness, call it what you like, but it's talking about a bit of grit. A bit of grit. When I got saved, I got persecuted. When I got saved, I got ridiculed. When I got saved, I got tried to get sidetracked by other people's opinions and beliefs. You need virtue to make a stand for what you believe. So add to your basic faith of Christ, virtue. On top of virtue, add knowledge. The knowledge that you have of Jesus Christ is what got you saved. It became a revelation to you, and through that you've inherited salvation. Now Peter is saying this kind of knowledge, though, is just general knowledge. Add to your faith a general knowledge of God, his ways, his heart. Read his word, listen to his sermons, watch the God channel. Do whatever it is you do to gain extra knowledge. Then he's saying, add to your knowledge self-control. Why do you need self-control? It means restraint. Okay, we're restraining ourselves. Why? Because the more you learn about God's ways, the more you find that you don't walk in them. So you're challenged now to add self-restraint and control in the areas that you know you shouldn't be going. You with me? Yeah. Because as I get to know God more, I suddenly realize that I've got attitudes. I got behavior problems. They're not in keeping with God's word. So I need to start to exercise restraint in those areas. I can't go any deeper than that because you'll have to listen to the things that we've done already. So adding to restraint, then, the next thing is perseverance and then godliness. So perseverance or endurance or patience, the ability to wait and remain constant, unchanging, while enduring something over a period of time. It could be hardship or material or financial lack, even boredom. Do Christians ever get bored? Oh, yes. You can get bored in church. But if you're bored in church, it's because you're not where you're meant to be. I mean spiritually now, and not about your location, although that could be true. But spiritually, you're not where you're meant to be, so you're getting bored. You could be bored. You could be inactive, maybe, in the church. So you need to be patient. It could be persecution. So you might have to be patient and persevere through persecution. So that's why perseverance is here. But why, after showing us restraint or telling us that we need to exercise restraint, do we now need to add perseverance to our restraint? Quite interesting. God's word is not an accident. I believe every word is in the right place. And when you read it like that, you suddenly see that there's a pattern emerging. So after showing restraint, where's our reward? You know, you think, oh, hang on, I'm not doing that anymore, Lord. So what am I getting instead? What's my reward for not doing that thing anymore that I used to do? Anybody like McDonald's? Yeah. Instant. Oh, thank you, young man. Yeah. I'm partial to a crispy chicken wrap, hot peri-peri sauce. We want... yes. We want things quickly. It's in our human nature. We're reared... We want things now. We're not prepared to wait for a lot of stuff. It's no different in the Christian life. God lives in eternity. He's got all the time in the world, in the universe, to do what he needs to do. He's not in a rush, but we are. I am in a rush. I want things to change. Where's my reward, Lord, for not doing that anymore? What's the point in giving up something when I get nothing in return? Anybody else thought that? Thank you. It's just me and you. Praise God. We'll have a chat after. What was it that you didn't get, you know? When I got saved, I honestly thought my life was over. I know that sounds terrible, but it was true. Why? Because I saw Christians as, and forgive me if you dress like this, but yeah. Tank tops, corduroys, white socks and sandals. Yeah, it's time to change. But that's what I saw Christianity as. When I got saved, I come from a punk and a skinhead background. Yeah, we. I've gone through my new romantic era, my heavy metal era. When I was saved, I was into my clubbing and pubbing. Yeah, so when you got saved, that's it, isn't it? Game over. There's nothing left to live for. I may as well die now. I'm not the only one, you know, am I? You're laughing because you thought exactly the same thing. Right. I didn't know what was around the corner. But I knew what I knew. I knew God. I knew Jesus was real. I knew he was alive in my life. But I didn't know what he had for me. So I needed to exercise a bit of patience while he was working things through me. I needed to add knowledge now of God, of what he could do, of who I was. And as I grew in that, I suddenly found, because this guy who was a mentor of mine, Len Smith, I want to honor him now. He's passed away. He's with the Lord, but he poured so much into my life. He said to me, when I said to him, I was lost, I was bored, I didn't know what to do in my life. He said to me, this is the most exciting life you could ever have. And he was right. And I was told friends over the years, I would not swap what I have for your winning lottery ticket. You can keep it. That's how valuable it was for me. But I had to learn that. I had to persevere. I had to be patient. But why is perseverance here in the lineup? Sandwiched between self-restraint and godliness. Right in the middle is perseverance. The lineup, exercise and restraint, then add perseverance, then godliness. Patient, perseverance, sandwiched between the two. It's actually sandwiched between the old nature and the new. Wow. Very good. The old and the new. Old things passed away, all things become new. And during my discovery of being freed from the old and entering into the benefits of the new, I need perseverance. Have you ever felt like giving up? Oh, I have. Oh, Graham hasn't. So again, if you need wisdom and guidance, here's the man for you. I have felt like giving up. In fact, I've come to places where I thought I couldn't go on anymore because of the hammerings I've had. But praise God, persevere where you're at right now. Don't give up. The word there also is talking about not just persevering or patience, but it's hopeful, cheerful patience. Hope, biblical hope, is a confident expectation of a good outcome. That's the biblical definition of hope. Not just, oh, I hope it works. We throw that in the air, don't we, flippant? No, it's a confident expectation of a good outcome. So, you got self-control or restraint. You got perseverance, then you got godliness. I want to make this statement. It is not enough to just stop doing what I believe to be wrong. I must also learn to do what I believe to be right. How does that work out? Men, married men, it's not enough to stop telling your wife off, criticizing her and shouting at her. You can stop that, which is brilliant, but that's not enough. You need to start hugging her, telling her how wonderful she is, and building her up. Do you understand there? Swapping from the old and entering into the new. And yes, you might have to persevere in between. Wives. Ooh. Wives. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah. But wives, you know what I'm on about. Whatever it is that you know that you're withholding from your husband, it's not enough to just stop what you're doing. You need to do something extra on top of what God is asking you to do. I'll go into that a little bit more in a minute. When our knowledge of God increases, so does our awareness of right and wrong. As I become aware of my own failings, I begin to exercise restraint in areas of my life. As I resist doing what I believe to be wrong, I start to find it difficult and have to add perseverance to my self-control. But is this all that I need to do? And as an example, as my knowledge increases, I suddenly become aware that getting drunk is not profitable for me. Now, that is something that God is not happy with about being drunk. Why? Because you lose self-control. You lose any moral standards that you might have had in the beginning. It's gone, right? But then you stop being drunk. But is that enough? No. Ephesians 5:15. So then, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? Don't get drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, and be filled with the Spirit, a different kind of Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's not just about what we don't practice anymore for God, but it's about what we do practice for God. What we are looking for in the drink is the counterfeit of what God has for us in the Spirit. I used to get drunk because it lifted me up. It gave me confidence. It let me do things that I wouldn't normally do if I was sober. A lot of those things, most of those things, all of those things were unprofitable for me. So I stopped drinking. Great. So what now, Lord? I'm bored now. I need uplifting. I need to be picked up. I need to sense that sense of, happiness, excitement, whatever it was I was getting from the drink. Well, Phil, you need to be filled then with my Spirit. Let me show you how to do it. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your heart, joining together with your brothers and sisters, stirring yourselves up in the faith. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but, and I might sound like I've come from Neptune now, right? But I know what it is to be drunk in the Holy Spirit. I know what it's like. And that's not many times. I'm not suggesting you just seek that all the time. You don't need to seek that all the time. It was an experience that God allowed me to feel. But I know what it's like to live in that place of knowing God, his presence, a consciousness, an awareness of him in my life. It lifts you. It strengthens you. It takes you out of the pit, out of your just messed up, horrible little world that the darkness wants to push on you. It takes you out of that, and you suddenly feel hope, excitement, passion for life itself, an expectation of what God is going to do in you. So what we're looking for in the drink is a counterfeit, a demonic substitute for the incredible sense of joy and happiness that God gives as he fills your life. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I mean, that's a wild statement, and it might mean nothing to some of us, but that is a truth. Joy. You can have joy in the most horrendous of circumstances. I know what it's like to feel utter, complete peace and a sense of purpose and destiny 10 minutes after watching my son die. How is that possible? The peace of God transcends all our human understanding. Actually goes way above what we can think or imagine. But it is possible to know that in those circumstances. I know it because I've experienced it. I'm not getting this out of a book. It's something I learned in a hospital ward. God is good. Are you fed up with waking up with a hangover? Then it's time to stop being filled with alcoholic spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's time we started singing and dancing in church, not in the clubs and pubs. I'm not telling you now to sort of turn your back on people. I'm telling you to find your source and supply from a different supplier. We had a great morning here this morning in prayer, in our prayer time. We were dancing and singing down the front here like watching a rugby game. I'm not going to go into that right now. Okay? Because I know what will happen. Isn't that right, babe? I'll get stoned. But you can have that joy, that peace, that amazing exhilaration of knowing that Jesus Christ is alive. That he's got your life in the palm of his hand. That your future is hopeful. There is a plan and purpose for us. Oh, God. Ephesians 5:18 tells us how to be filled with the Spirit. It's as simple as getting around brothers and sisters. Yes, there's times when, you know, you can lay hands on people and pray for the filling of the Holy Ghost. There's that. But the disciplined, everyday, day-to-day living of keeping yourself in that place with God is by sharing with your brothers and sisters, having fellowship, making melody to the Lord in your heart. Yeah, singing to him in the car, singing to him in the shower, singing whatever you want to be, sing to the Lord. Make melody to the Lord. Now, this is all about a principle. Heath touched on this morning. I was jumping, ready to give this word. There's a principle in Scripture called putting off and putting on. This is for you, Pete. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Putting off and putting on. Ephesians 4:17 to 32. We got that, please? It's long-winded, but let's go through it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, meaning it's pointless and useless, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What have we got at the day of salvation? Life, the life of God. Because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness, just basically doing their own thing. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Put him off, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, increase in knowledge. Yeah, grow in your knowledge. And in that knowledge, that you now put on the new man. So there's a putting off and there's a putting on. If I want to, I can get up in the morning, I can dress in a stinking old tracksuit, unwashed, dirty, sweaty. I can do that if I want to. It's my choice. It's my right. I'm a free and a powerful person. I can do that. But if I do that, I will go out into a world stinking. And I'll spread my stink wherever I go. Or I can dress differently. Maybe that same tracksuit, but it's washed, it's clean, it smells lovely and fresh, and I can dress in that, and I can go out into the world with that on and spread and diffuse a lovely fragrance in the world which I live. I got the choice. I can put off, and I can put on. So how does this relate to us? You put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one put on or speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. The angry, be angry, don't sin. Put it off. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Instead of being angry and giving place to the devil, be something else. Be peaceful. Let him who steals steal no longer, So put off the stealing I'm taking away from people and let him work with his hands, doing what is good, that he may now give to people. So I'm not taking off you anymore, Adam. You'd be pleased to know. I give to him instead. It's not good enough just not stealing anymore. I need to grow into the new man who gives generously. I am going somewhere with this. It's good, honestly, believe me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Stop putting people down. Build them up instead. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave us. So this could also be known as putting off godlessness and putting on godliness. Why do I need to do this? Because I want to inherit what God has for me. I can't inherit it if I don't put something into practice. Why? Because it's the promises, through the promises that I inherit. Who I am, what I have, and what I can achieve are all wrapped up in the promises of God. So as I walk according to the promise, as I change my way of living from this useless, unprofitable life, and I exercise restraint in those areas, because I can tell you what now, it's hard giving up things you know are not profitable, even though they're not profitable. It's hard giving them up. And I need to put on and start doing something instead which is profitable so I can inherit what that promise tells me I can have. Put off and put on. What is it that we're still doing today that was actually robbing us of our lives before we knew Christ? What fruit was I getting from doing what I was doing then? We have to ask ourselves a question. I had to put off getting drunk in the world. It wasn't making me really happy. Only for the moment when I was actually drunk did I think I was happy. And I have to put on getting filled in the presence of God. I had to put off loving girls to meet a temporary need. I wanted love, but I never found it in having one relationship after another. And I had to put on loving Jesus instead. Not loving a Christian girl. Yeah? Yeah? Because I'm only trying to get the same thing from a different label. Yeah? I had to put on loving Jesus. My completeness is not found in another girl. It's found in Christ. Yeah? Tough, but you put on loving Jesus, it's a good thing. Why is it profitable? Because he has for you the girl that he has picked, who you will absolutely adore. I adore my wife. She's a real gift and a blessing of God to me. And I love her and cherish her. She makes me smile when I see her face across the room. You can't buy that. God gave me the gift. I have to put off playing bass in my old band where I wanted to find fame and excitement and recognition. Hit the big time. I actually made a single with High Tech Sportswear. Woo! Yeah. The only downside was I had to dress up in the tracksuits. And a friend of mine stuck the poster all over my workplace. And he had the poster of me stood there like that in my high tech, yeah? With my curly perm and highlights and mustache. And he wrote on the top, wanted for crimes against fashion all over my workplace. Thank you very much for that. I had to put that off and put on worshiping Jesus with my gift. I didn't know I'd end up playing bass in church. I don't do it much now, do I, Adam? But I'm doing my best. Just, I'm just really busy. Talk about that after, yeah? I had to put off my old worldly friendships. The ones where the only thing we had in common was clubbing, drink, drugs, and girls. Now, I'm not saying to do that. If you're walking with Christ, we need to be reaching our unsaved friends and family. But there was a point when I first got saved where I had to make a decision. Are they influencing me or am I influencing them? And they were influencing me or trying to. I couldn't influence them because as far as they were concerned, I was brainwashed. So I had to make a decision. No, I'm not going down that road. All I wanted to do was go out clubbing and pubbing, drinking and all the rest of it. So I said, no, I need to find this new life. I needed to put off that. And I got lonely for about 6 to 8 weeks in church, a church of 700 people, and I was lonely, sat at the back. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I am lonely. I need friends. I'm 26 years old. I got nobody to bother with socially. That same week, on the Friday night at a youth meeting, a guy came over to me. His name was Peter Sadler. I recognized him, and don't laugh at me, because I used to do aerobics with him. Okay? I had to put that off as well. I'm doing it for all the wrong reasons. moving on. But he came up to me, he said, all the guys are going out playing bowling next Saturday. Do you fancy coming along? I went along and I never looked back. Sometimes you've got to persevere. I had to put off. Oh, sorry, moving on then. Are we still lying and deceiving people? We have to put off lying and put on telling the truth. Are we still stealing from people? Put it off. Put off stealing and cheating. Put on earning your money honestly and then put on sharing it with others. Are you still losing your temper with people? Stop it. Put off getting angry and put on gentleness and kindness. Are you still lonely? Stop it. Put off your shyness. Put off your unwillingness to get involved because you haven't got time, or put off your fear of intimacy. Put on brotherly kindness for your new family. Put on servanthood. Put on friendship. Be a friend to someone. Put off, put on. And here's my main reason for perseverance. We'll be finishing up on this now. Sometimes the process of change takes time. We can begin to lose sight of the goal as we stumble and fall. We want to be... What we want to be and what we are seem a million miles apart. We exercise restraint in putting off the old nature and the old ways, but we're left wanting empty and unfulfilled. But there is coming a time when our patience and perseverance will be rewarded. We are called to exercise perseverance with virtue, with valor, with resolve, according to the knowledge that we have of what is right in God's eyes. Keep doing what you're doing if it's right to do it. I love we should be talking this morning, Marnie, about this kind of thing. And he brought up a scripture with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're faced with King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wants them to bow down and worship the golden image which he has created. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. He said, right, I'm going to throw you into that fiery furnace. It's heated up 7 times more than I would normally do it. So you are going to be obliterated when you get in there. Do you know what their reply was? Our God is able to deliver us. He can come through for us. But do you know what, Nebuchadnezzar? Even if he doesn't, I am not bowing down to that thing anymore. Perseverance, valor. to do the right thing. Even if you don't see the end result as being good for you. What are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the reward or for the relationship? Oh, Job 14, verse 7. For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth over time, and its stump may die in the ground. Doesn't it feel like we're dying sometimes, waiting for God to come through? Yet the scent of water, and it will bud, and it will bring forth branches like a plant. The water of the Holy Ghost. Put off the old, put on being filled with the Spirit of God. And before you know it, your life will begin to bud and blossom. You can't have resurrection without death. It's a thought. Let that drop into your spirit. You can't have the resurrection life of Christ without the death of the old man. Finishing up. Sometimes God has to organize things for us. They involve timing. And it's not always about when we want it to happen. No matter how hard things get, however dry we may feel, how lost or lonely or broken and cut down we may feel, there's always hope for us. Just one sniff of water, one sniff, the water of God's spoken word, His Holy Spirit, one drop from God will bring life flooding back into our being. God sometimes waits before giving out the blessing in order to test our hearts. Do we really hate evil, or do we just want God's blessing? Do we really follow God anyway, or is it only as long as I'm comfortable and happy? I know this is challenging, but I don't want to ever get up and speak to people unless I can challenge. This is challenging for me. I'm reading it, I'm writing it, and it's challenging me as I'm doing it. The responsibility of being a disciple, it's not about obeying commands, it's about doing our part. Cooperation with God so that He can bring into our lives everything that He has for us. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for anyone here who's moved now, right, move deep in their heart, in their spirit, for wanting to be the person that You've called us to be. You have already told us, Father, and we've heard it this morning, that we are righteous in Your eyes. We are holy in Your eyes. We have destiny and purpose written all over our lives. Father, help us to put off the sense of hopelessness. Help us to put off the doubt and the unbelief, and help us to put on the faith that knows those things are true no matter what I do or say. They are true and they stand the test of time. Oh, Father. Father. I would like to just pray for people, if that's all right. Everyone sat down now, eyes closed or whatever. You know, if you're going through something right now and you find it out, you need to persevere and to be patient. I want to pray for you. See, the grace of God is for those who feel weak so that they can know His strength. And if you're feeling weak in your situation, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are. Don't be afraid now. Don't be timid. Don't be shy. stand up so I can pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. There are promises in God's word for you, for your very situation. You may not know that they're there because you've never read them. You may not know they're there because nobody's ever told you. But I tell you right now, and I can say it with all confidence, that there is a promise in the Bible written for you in your very circumstances. Within that promise, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and it is active. It contains faith to the hearer. And when you find and discover that promise and you hold on to it and you start telling God, I believe this, Lord. I believe it. You are going to honor this promise. When you start doing that, faith will rise up in you. The faith to overcome the giant that you're facing. The mountain that you have to climb, whatever it is, God has the answer for you. And I pray right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that if you know the promise, that you will hold on to it. I pray He gives you the strength to hold on to it, to grip a hold of it, and not to move off it. I pray He gives you the ability to persevere in the face of doubt and unbelief, in the face of the circumstances that you are looking at right now. I pray that God will give you the strength to say, no, I will not bow down to that. If you don't know the promise, I pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that you impart wisdom, that you will bring enlightenment to the eyes of those people's understanding right now. That they will come to a knowledge of the truth, and that through that they will know the path that they have to walk, and that your grace is available to them to strengthen them and to carry them through to the other side. There is a valley of the shadow of death, but even in that valley, God says, I will prepare before you a table in the presence of your enemies. And you will feast and you will drink until you come through to the other side. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against you in judgment, you, not me, but you will refute. Hallelujah. Father, seal it, I pray. Seal it, I pray, in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard.